Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, give me the words to say and give the listener ears to hear regarding what is your will in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's broadcast just makes me take a deep breath because my mind and my heart have had a sense of what is going on in America, and we have things going on that makes me look at the scripture, that makes me look at what has been going on in history and in the country today. So I have been having concerns, and I witness what is going on that has gone on in other countries is now going on today in America. I see the patterns repeating. And what I see is America is being set up for trouble. Whether that trouble will be a chaos or a collapse or societal or monetary or political or even military chaos or even destruction. We have the potential for great trouble to come to America, and it appears that it will not be a terrific amount of time, but things are going on now, this year, and we don't know how long it will take to materialize, to become a kind of a trouble that concerns us. But the patterns repeat. And we can see that there is going to be some kind of difficulty coming our way. The thing that gets me, though, is Ezekiel chapter 33, which, when I have read that in the past decades, it has made me feel concern. It has made me feel a heaviness about me. And I think about the watchman part of that passage, which goes, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, and the sword come and the sword take any person from among them, then he will bear the iniquity, and his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So whatever you do or do not understand about that passage in Ezekiel chapter 33, we know that there is a heaviness to it, a seriousness with the talk about the blood. That's a serious matter. And through the years, I have come back to that passage from time to time, and I feel the weight of Ezekiel chapter 33 upon me. Now, in recent years, I have continued to be aware of it as I watch what is going on around all of us in the land, in America, in the world. And one of the things that has become a habit for me is to awaken early if there is something that God has for me to pay attention to. That's the way I have viewed it. So when I wake up at 3 a.m, I have God on my heart. And a few days ago, God woke me up at 3:03 a.m. And in 3 minutes, I had today's message in my mind and my heart. And so I'm going to talk about that now. I will begin in Matthew chapter 12, verse 39. It talks about a generation that wants a sign from God. And you might say that people are wanting a word from God in these days. And that could be how that Matthew chapter 12, verse 39 applies to us today. When people want the word from God, they want a sign. And then the passage continues. Jesus says, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." And you know what happened with Jonah. Jonah was sent by God to Nineveh, and Jonah refused to go to Nineveh to preach because he did not like the Ninevites. They had been cruel to his people as they have conquered many other peoples in the area. So Jonah refused to do what God wanted, and, well, read the book of Jonah and get the complete story. I'm just telling you a very short description of it. Jonah was swallowed by a great fish as he was thrown overboard. And then the fish spit him out right at Nineveh on the beach. Yes, and the book of Jonah tells the story very well, but for these purposes today, we will just say that Jonah preached the message to Nineveh. He preached a message of repentance, telling everyone the city would be destroyed in 40 days unless Nineveh repented. And Nineveh did repent. And Nineveh lived on as a city for about 100 more years. And then Nineveh fell back into its ungodly ways, and then Nineveh was destroyed. So today, we get to try to understand these messages from God and what it means to us today. Now, I know that people don't think they are so bad because they're just doing what everybody else is doing. We do that as a society also. I'm sure that's what was going on in Nineveh also. People just don't think they're as bad as other people might think of them. Well, in those days in Nineveh, it was understood that there was neighbors who were violating their neighbors' wives, for instance. There was also punishment going off that might have been cutting off a hand or an arm or something. There were instances where the enemies of Nineveh would be brought back and some of them would be slain and some of them would be encased where they would die in a small little pillar or something like that. So Nineveh did all these things to its neighbors, including the ancient Hebrews, which is why Jonah did not want Nineveh to be saved. Nineveh was a cruel people, and Jonah knew it. I think of today, could America be considered a cruel people? A cruel society? Well, it depends on how you look at it, doesn't it? Because we do know that there have been a whole lot of babies killed by abortion. There have been killers. There have been prisoners in prisons that have been put into a small space, kind of like put into a pillar that would have been done in Nineveh. Well, when I think of what else those people in Nineveh did, they did some really terrible things. Skinning people alive, for instance. Something we just can't imagine. But what would you say if America did something like that? Not quite the same, but we know that USA has used napalm and phosphorus weapons in the world. And napalm and phosphorus weapons, they do something like that, where they take the skin away or attack the skin of people. Very, very painful. And then, how else could you say America was like that? Well, I think of the abortion doctors who use a supertonic solution. That's what they call it, supertonic. And in effect, what it does is it burns the skin of a fetus and it causes an abortion. So I think of these things and we want to say, oh no, America loves God. America is a good and Christian people. Well, it is true that America is a good and Christian people. But America is not only a good and Christian people. America has some other problems in it. We are a good and a kind Christian people that wants to spread the love of Jesus to the world through Christian ministries or missionaries. But again, that is not the only thing that America is about. And so we can look at what else is spread by America throughout the world. Political difficulties, political warfare, physical warfare, and weapons of war. These are also what America spreads throughout the world. So it makes me wonder how a just God, a God of the Bible, would view the different actions of America. Now, many American people are viewed by the rest of the world as really terrible people. The government of America as a terrible government. So if that is true, I can only imagine what America is being warned about. And are we willing to repent of the evil we as America do in the world? Of course, I think about the rest of the Bible. I think about where it says a sword will come upon a land that is disobedient to God. And these are passages that we can read and try to grasp what they mean and how they will apply. It says something like that in Ezekiel 14:13. How if a land continuously sins against God, that God will bring trouble to that land. Troubles like famine and war and disease. There are other passages in the Bible that say that also. Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. They all talk about what happens to a land that does not do God's will. So we get to examine how we are as a land. What will happen to a land that continuously disobeys the will of God? So are we doing that? Yes, in a way we are. But we don't know what will happen. Will bad stuff come our way? We can ask ourselves, what would God do? What would Jesus do? And of course, we don't know. We just have examples in the Bible that have told what God would do or has done. So we do have examples. We have words and actions in the Bible about what happens if a people is not a holy people according to God. And then there are consequences, just like there were for Nineveh. Will that happen to America? Well, here's a part of what my thinking was that few early mornings ago, and that was the eclipse that comes across America April 8th. NASA has a graphic that shows a solar eclipse that went across ancient Nineveh in Iraq on June 15, 763 B.C., So, of course, there is no video of it. How do we prove that it happened? Well, we use our intellect to see. It's not like we can see it in living color, but we do have the books and the science that describe what happened. We have the history books that tell us what went on. And so it gives us an example of what could go on in America. Again, it's not spelled out perfectly, but we can connect the dots on this puzzle and know that there are things that could certainly happen to America, no matter how strong America is. If America disobeys God's will, we know there will be consequences. And that is a biblical pattern that is right in front of us if we would only look. That April 8th eclipse will cast its shadow across 8 U.S. cities that are named Nineveh. Well, that is a remarkable coincidence, is it not? It's the kind of coincidence that could bring us a greater understanding to what history and truth is. Of course, we are not in the position to say we know, because we are not God, and we don't know the plans of God. Even though we do know some of the plans, because he tells us, that are good for us, but there are also consequences to a country and a people that sin. Now, it does mean, perchance, the USA will be destroyed. And if we look at history, we know God has used ungodly nations to destroy another nation, even his own people, Israel. That happened when Israel was not following the will of God, and the Assyrians, who were the Ninevites, did attack and conquer Israel. So we can only wonder what kind of an event would happen that America would be attacked. And how could that be in God's will, after all? Are we not good and godly followers of Jesus Christ? Well, are we? Are we followers of Jesus Christ? Or are we doing what we want? I think of that Ezekiel chapter 14 again. After verse 13, it talks about what happens when a land sins against God persistently and unfaithfully. God cuts off its supply of bread and sends famine upon it, for man and for beast. And a few verses later, like in verse 21, God says that he will send his four sore judgments on the land. The sword, or invasion, or disease. Now, this is a pattern in the Bible, New Testament and Old. It is a message that perhaps we should be shouting out to America. Do you hear that message being shouted out, that we need to repent, we need to change and become godly people again? I hear some churches talk about God wants you to be rich. God loves you. He wants you to have a big house and a new car. Well, that is part of the message that is spoken by some churches, but it is not the whole message of the Bible. The reality of life in this country is that we are seeing a certain destruction of hundreds of food processing plants, food manufacturing plants. They have been destroyed all across America, well over 100. And now we are seeing tens of thousands of cows and other animals that are destroyed. Some of them destroyed mysteriously, and some of them are destroyed intentionally. We have crops that are not maturing, crops that are dying in the field before they can be harvested. We are seeing trouble in America that is getting ready to happen. In the last years, we have seen people not aware of what is going on in America, and not aware of the good things of the Bible about God and Jesus. So we can see that a lack of knowledge can kill us. And that's what Hosea 4:6 talks about. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. And if you have questions, please pray about what it means and ask God to show you. Show you if we ought to be prepared for shortages and starvation, or maybe even death camps, and certainly an invasion. That can happen in America, and there have been prophetic people that have said it would happen. Now, I don't know what to say about prophetic people. All I know is it's a real possibility given the history of the Bible, given the history of people, and given the history now of America. So will America will repent? Or should I ask, will you repent? It's kind of a hard message to tell, repent or perish. I can't say that that's the whole message, but I can say there have been people who have given that message. And they have been both worldly people or political people, and they have been Christian people who say they have a message from God. In the past, I have talked about these prophetic dreams and visions and said they could happen. I talk about George Washington's vision at Valley Forge, talking about the three dark forces that would come over America, and the third one would be mortal combat throughout America. And that one could be coming any time now, any time. It could be happening. How would we prepare for mortal combat? Well, the most important thing that every one of us need is water. We need food. We need warmth. And these things are under attack by the enemies of America attacking our cyber system, our infrastructure. And we have prophetic people that have said it was going to happen. People like Henry Gruver, Dmytro Dudeman. Now, those were 30 years ago, but it still has settled with some people who have repeated the messages or who have had new dreams and visions. And I think of Pastor Dana Coverstone, a Kentucky pastor, who in 2020 had a dream about a dollar collapse. And his dreams, he said, were proven to be correct. I guess that's for each one of us to determine, is it correct or not? But what are we as faithful Christians to recognize? What do you suppose could happen? Now, if there is a dollar collapse, our wages would stay about the same, but the things that we buy now for $1 would cost $2. That's the kind of thing that is foreseen in the monetary system that has been described by certain Christians who describe what is coming to America. There have been plenty of warnings that are similar, and it's for each one of us to search it out and try to understand what could be coming. Now, again, I don't know that God has given me a specific dream or vision about this, but I know he has put me in touch with people who have had these dreams and visions, ones who I have met, ones who I have not met. And if they are correct, and of course, things can be delayed. I'm not sure, but I know that they can be. And especially in these days when plenty of worldly financial people are saying a similar thing to what these Christian people with dreams or visions are saying. They give a similar warning about what is going to happen in America. Sure, the worldly people do not talk about the spiritual battle, but the spiritual people do, and the direction is similar for both of those peoples. Now, we can be wise about what could be coming and see what it makes sense to do if such a thing were to occur, as it has many times in history. Even in United States history, there have been monetary crises, and the dollar has had problems. So what shall we do? I think do a little bit of the just in case it does happen, because it's reasonable to see how trouble could be coming our way from a monetary point of view and certainly from a spiritual point of view. Now, the spiritual points us to what can happen in the short term, but we want to do everything that we can with eternity in mind, that we want to spend with our ever-loving, faithful, and faithfulness to God. We learn the Bible and how to be faithful to God. We don't have to be afraid of the events that are described. Some people are fearful about the events in the book of Revelation. Well, we don't have to be afraid for those events. All we have to do is live a godly life, and then those things would not happen. If we send out godly missionaries to America and increase the Christian living, then we could have a huge revival, and we could preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It would be an amazing country if people acknowledged God. For one thing, God would be all-knowing, and we would trust God's instruction and live according to God's will. Then we would not live in sin. And we could all make that choice. And wouldn't that be a wonderful place to live with godly morality in our country? Now, all sorts of things can happen. And I think of how we would defeat the demons that apparently would be coming if these are the end days. And I think of Matthew 17:21, where the apostles go to Jesus and say, "Why could we not cast the demons out of this person?" And Jesus says, "You could not cast out that demon because this kind cometh out only by prayer and fasting." And we can keep that in mind, that we might be in a spiritual battle where we need to pray and fast. And I think it's a rather remarkable thing, the number of new Bibles that leave out Matthew 17:21, that say this kind only come out by prayer and fasting. Sounds like we are in a spiritual battle. And what could happen? Well, we have to remember that our position is close to God and obedient to God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. And amen. And we want to go to heaven and live for eternity with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Amazing. We get to choose all this because we choose heaven or hell by how we live. And that's something that each one of us does day to day as we seek what is going to happen today and in the coming days. We know the patterns. We know there is a biblical pattern. And we know there is a historical pattern to describe what kind of trouble is coming to America. Can you guess what it is? We can all make a guess, but we don't exactly have knowledge unless you've been told something by God. Now, maybe you have, and that's a good thing. That is what we want to do, is have a message from God so that we know more surely how we are going to live. Our Bible is full of biblical promises, promising how we can live with God for eternity. But it also talks about what will the consequences be if we are living an ungodly life. And for decades, America has not been following a godly path as far as I can see. What do you see? Do you see that America has been following a godly path? We'll keep living it, but read the Bible to make sure that the Bible is telling you what is godly and what is not godly. We have times in the future that are promising, that are looking like they will be full of difficulty. You can see it from a spiritual point of view, and you can see it from a godly point of view. Now, really only God knows what the future is, but we can surely get an indication of what will happen in the soon days to come. And yes, I touched upon that eclipse because it might be an indicator, and it might be just a guess at what is happening, because there have been indicators in the past. But if you look at what has gone on, you might want to take it seriously, because it has happened before in history. And that eclipse that happened over Nineveh when Jonah preached for 40 days, we can see that that very well might be a pattern. We can only guess at what it really means in the future, but we can also get an idea of what we might want to prevent from happening if we would just follow Jesus and the Bible. Now, there are indicators about what can happen on April 8th, and a part of that has to do with the 40 days that are talked about, because Jonah said Nineveh will be destroyed in 40 days. And Nineveh repented in those 40 days. So I think of 40 days after April 8th is May 18th, 2024. Now, it's not a prediction. It's just what I do when I play with words and concepts, and I ponder how it could be something that reflects a truth that I don't understand, but it could be. And I do look at how there are 8 U.S. cities that are named Nineveh, that the shadow of this eclipse on April 8th, 2024, will go across. And I think 8 U.S. cities named Nineveh And I think that could certainly be an indicator. Now, only God knows what the truth of the matter is. But we do know how God has used mathematics to show a pattern. And it might be a pattern for this coming eclipse. It's pretty hard to look forward and see a pattern, but we can always look backward and see the pattern if we live that long. Well, okay, I don't know. But we are searching for truth, and we pray for God to reveal the truth to us. That is what we do, always. That's what we do, so that we can understand what is coming and what to do about it. That is a part of what God has done by showing us dreams and visions and examples in the Bible. Now, the Bible has many amazing miracles in it, and we look back and sometimes there are people who do not believe the miracles, and they say, oh, something else must have happened. How could God have done that? Well, God is almighty, and we know that God can do anything, including every miracle that is in the Bible. But there are people who say, nope, it was a natural occurrence, or it was done through the power of thought that people thought that this would happen, and it did. How can I talk about anything that anyone believes? You believe it or you don't. And you see that God will do something or he won't. And we get to try to figure out what happens. And we have examples in the Bible of what God does. I think of Matthew 7:23, where people did works in the name of Jesus. And they were told that Jesus did not know them. And so they were sent away from Jesus. I think of the Matthew 25 with the 10 virgins who were all apparently serving God. And five of them went into the wedding feast, and five of them were told to go away, that they were never known. So is that a part of the relation with God, Jesus? We get to figure these things out and try to understand what the basis of our relation is. We are warned to believe and obey the Bible, and as we see the things happen over and over again, it gives us an understanding that we are to read and understand the Bible. But if people don't look, they don't know, and they are destroyed by a lack of knowledge. I think we all can see how good it is to be a Christ follower. And how do we follow Christ? Well, let's follow him in what Christ has done, and be sure that we want to follow Christ into heaven, and that be our eternal destiny. Now, read God's word for yourself and get to understand the goodness of God and the certainty of what is described in the Bible. So here we are on earth right now in these days at the end of the age, closer and closer to the end, and we anticipate astounding and miraculous things to happen. Do you anticipate that they are done by God and we will be saved through it? We all have a little different view on that one, don't we? There are people who believe that we will be saved out of the discomfort. And there are people who believe that we will go through the trial and difficulty, but that God will be with us as we go through the trial and difficulty. And then, on the glorious day, we will hear the trumpet sound, and God will call us to heaven. Now, we have a great deal of question about the timing of when that happens. When will that rapture happen? And we want to be included in the rapture. But the Bible tells us not everyone will be included in the kingdom of God. And I would like to think about this with you for a moment. Ask yourself, if you were a teacher for just one day at an elementary school, what would the students say if they were asked, how would anyone know if people were saved? How would people know if they were going to be raptured and going to heaven? And I think you could ask, do you think that people sitting comfortably in a chair are going to belong to Jesus? Or would you say the people who are standing up and going around and speaking the word of God, do you think they are the ones who will be safely in heaven? It's a good question. What do you think we need to do to be included in the kingdom of God? Well, it's clear that we are to be born again. And how do we do that? How about by shining the love of Jesus Christ, which is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the people around you? That's the gospel. So that is what I think of when I think about doing something to be of service to the kingdom of God. We all do it in a different way. Well, I know of people who give a great amount of money, and they think that will bring them into the kingdom of God. I can't judge that. Some people think that sweeping and cleaning the church will bring them into the kingdom of God. Yeah, that very well could be. Other people think that preaching the good news of the gospel on the street is what brings them into the kingdom of God. I don't know what to tell you. I think it's the personal relationship, and that, because it's personal, is something that you have to deal with and understand. What will bring you into the kingdom of God? There are many of things that are a mystery with God. We understand God ultimately is the truth, and that God is three persons in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are co-equal and eternal. And God loves who he created. That's obvious in the Bible. And then mankind disobeyed God, and thus mankind was destined to be eternally separated from God. Now, God has mercy, and in his mercy, he created a system to be redeemed to God through Jesus Christ, where our sin of disobedience is redeemed by the sacrifice of life. The Old Testament talked about bulls and goats and sheep being sacrificed. But then there was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, people have been redeemed once they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So let's show that Jesus is our Lord and Savior by how we live, and then let us be joined again with God in eternity in that heavenly place. That is what we all want. In the midst of all that goes on in this life, you know we have troubles. You know there are wars and rumors of war. You know there are relationship issues. You know there are questions about if we have enough of the material needs that we have, like food, like water, like love. And these are things that the world is striving to get enough of. And there is trouble from people who want the resources of the earth. There are troubles with people who say, you have to believe as I do, or I'm going to kill you. Now that is going on in the Middle East today. In Yemen, the Houthis are firing missiles at our military ships and our commercial ships so that they can make their will be imposed upon many people. Lots of things are going on. There are people who want to force their will upon other people. And then there are the natural disasters that are going on just everywhere. Floods and famine, but also the waters drying up. That's going on the Euphrates River in Iran, and we pray that it does not happen to our Mississippi River, because that would certainly hurt America. But there are natural disasters like in Brazil. They are in the middle of a dengue fever outbreak. In 2 months, there have been 2 million cases of dengue fever in Brazil. So there are the things that get our attention a little bit at a time, or sometime a lot at a time. Sometimes it is a matter of life and death, and sometimes it is a matter of having our cell phone work or getting repaired, or our cars repaired. When so many car parts are made in China, there are people who cannot get their parts. One man I know cannot get a starter for his, I think it was a pickup truck, or it was an SUV, but the dealer was out. There were no starters in any place in the United States. So he had to wait until they were being made again. And it's just an example of one of the things that are really impacting our lives. And what do we do about it? I think we pray for the goodness of God to be upon this nation and this world. So with all the troubles going on everywhere in the world, we want to pray for the gospel of Jesus Christ to go to every corner of the earth, and then for everyone to become Christian and loving one another in the freedom of worship of Jesus Christ. And that's just a part of what we do and who we are. And a part of that is to pray for that and act upon that happening in the United States of America. If America had that same love for Jesus and the same love that Jesus has for others, well, we would be a loving and wonderful place to live. So pray for the love of Christ to be in America as we proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then you can do something to support the people, the churches, and the ministries that preach the good news of the gospel across America. Now, we have opportunities to do that from time to time. And you get to see the opportunity that you will have, and you will get to be faithful to whatever it is that God is calling you to. It might be to support a Christian radio channel, and I know there are many good Christian radio broadcasts, much better than Christ Today, but even Christ Today needs a little help for its broadcasting costs. And if you would like my preparedness papers, I will send them to you if you would just send me a self-addressed stamped envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Because if things do take a turn for the worse in America, we are going to need food and supplies. Water, food, and warmth is what I say. And we each get to figure a little bit more about what we need. And certainly a Bible and a hymnal is good to have for everybody who you might run into, who you might find has a need. That can go along with the food that you would provide for people. So think about these things and about sharing the goodness and love of Jesus Christ as you go through life. Now, we do want to do God's will, and we know that there are many ways to fulfill God's loving will with the people around you. There's many ways. It's not just one. So I ask you to ask God for helping you to determine what you should do. Now, God bless you, and remember to pray for the many things that are going on in America and around the world. There are good things and there are troubles. There are people who need guidance and assistance, from pastors to regular people. We all need guidance. We all need protection from difficulties and evil in our life. So God bless you, and keep praying. Pray in Jesus' name and give thanks to the Lord our God. We have a lot of life every day. Remember to give a few seconds or a few minutes to thank God for all the wonderful things that He has given you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927.